Take your Bibles and go to Jeremiah chapter 18 today. Jeremiah chapter number 18. And I am amazed that an almighty God would send his son to pay for the sins of the world. And to boil it down even farther, that he sent his son to die for me. And I'm thankful today. There's a place I remember growing up in church and not realizing what it was that I was missing until I realized, even though I knew all these things about Jesus in my head, I didn't have a personal relationship and have him in my heart. And it changed my world, friend, when I received him as my own. And it changed my desires. It changed my want to's. Amen. I reckon things different. My reckoning, it was a day of reckoning for me. Amen. And when I started to think on things, I didn't reckon it all the same. I had a different reckoning. And here in Jeremiah chapter 18, last week, Mrs. Morton sang a song, and I have been singing it all week long, amen? And I just have not been able to get it out of my head or my heart, and I just had to preach on it, amen? And I want to preach this morning on the potter's hand, amen, on the potter's hand. I want you to know that clearly, and we're going to see in the passage of Scripture that there are several different, there's a primary interpretation of the Scripture, and it is upon the nation of Israel. And we'll read the Scripture today, but also that this Old Testament Scripture is for our admonition. That means it helps us. And we can take the application, and it primarily is speaking to the nation, a group of people. And we will try to take the time that we have today, and we'll take a hard look at our nation as well, that we can take these things and the things that he said to the nation of Israel and apply them to America. And then we can also take and boil it even down farther and see how the potter deals with the individuals that make up that nation, or you and me today. And that, again, can I just say this? You know, the best thing, you know, Dr. Lee Robertson used to say it takes three to thrive. And I'll just invite you back tonight. Something God put on my heart to preach. I don't want you to miss it. But again, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're an old-fashioned church. If you really want to know who we are, we're more than that. We have church and invite people to come here, but there's church going on somewhere all over this property every day of the week. There's chapels at the college. If you really want to go to a church, I have to call and tell people I'm not going to be there because we got church every day. Amen. I need it. I love the book. I love to hear it. I love to hear all these preaching, but again, it takes three to thrive. It helps us to be under the Word of God. We talked about it last Sunday night a little bit more, but just the counsel of the Word of God. It's good to be under God's Word and the counsel that He gives from His Word. Jeremiah chapter 18, we're going to read the Scripture, a familiar Scripture. I mean, something that's been preached over and over again, but hopefully today it'd be something that'll help you and remind you about the potter's hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive into the Scripture this morning. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for, again, the opportunity to open your Word. God, I pray that you would do a work through me. God, I pray that you would just use my lips. Help me to be your messenger boy to preach the message that you've given me this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would do the work, God, in the hearts of people, that you would go out through this crowd, that you would soften the heart, and that the Word of God would land on good ground, and that it would spring up, God, and help to build faith, or to plant faith in the heart of someone in this place. God, I pray for those that are listening by radio or on the internet, God, that you would save somebody today on our property and through all the different ministries of our church. We will thank you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The Potter's Hand, chapter number 18 and verse number 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. I believe that this morning you cannot miss. I think you can see here that God was trying to draw back Israel unto himself. Jeremiah is pronouncing judgment. He's a weeping prophet. He preached and preached and preached, and they did not turn. They would not listen. They even locked him up for his prophesying and preaching. And he's just that way. He wanted God's people to turn back and to repent. And God has always been a gracious God, a God of grace. That if even when he's pronounced judgment, we would repent and turn back unto him, that he would forgive and he would build it again, a brand new thing. Can I just say, we can look at America. We can't look at its history and not say that God did not have his hand, a potter's hand, in forming and building our nation. We cannot look back and look at our providential foundation that we were laid upon the word of God, and that providential men God raised up to be in positions of leadership, to lead our armies and to stand fast and to stand in certain doom. But then a fog came in and saved General Washington, and he crossed over. And I mean, can I just say that there are some people in history that we can say, they even said, if you read their account, it wasn't because we had them outnumbered with muskets. It's not because we had them outnumbered with men. It's not because we had more cannons than they had, and it's not because our cavalry outnumbered the other cavalry. It was because of the sovereign hand of Almighty God that America is what it is today. And I'm saying amen and amen, but America's not what she used to be. America does not stand by the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. America doesn't stand for religious liberty like it used to. And under this president, America is not standing with Israel like she always should. I said some things last week about the president we currently have, and my job is not to stand up and blast him, but he's a disappointment week after week after week. It is sad to see some of the things, and I'm just going to say it, and you cannot like it. The same door that let you in will let you back out, as my preacher used to say. And I'm just going to say, some of the things that we are lowering our flag for today is sickening to me. Some of the things that we think, some of the things that we ought to have lowered our flag for and we ought to have reverenced, now we're lowering it for things that are social issues and not true issues of the day. Yes, I can say I'm sorry for people that get hurt when they resist arrest. But I'm not going to lower the flag for them. Amen. If you resist a police officer, they have every right to put you on the concrete. Amen. They have every right to defend themselves because they got babies at home. And they're out there trying to serve their nation, their country, their city, or whoever they're trying to. And they got every right to stand up and use force that they've always had the right to do. Do you realize that Romans chapter 13, this book, government does not have the right to legislate my liberties. That was given by God. They have the right to enforce laws and to crack down on the person that would infringe upon my liberties. They are given the sword to punish the person that would kick in my door and to take the things that are mine or to hurt my family. That is what the government is there for. The government's not there to tax me. The government's not there to get after me and try to take my land from me and tell me that it was theirs all along. No, friend. That is not how America was established. And we're rolling downhill in a direction that I don't want to see it go. But if we don't repent as a nation, if we don't turn back to a holy and sovereign God, that God is going to pluck up and pull down a nation that he set up and that he planted in good ground and with a good establishment. Amen and amen. Amen. We all know that. We preach that. We will tell people about it. But listen, folks, more than anything else, I want to come to you this morning, and the number one application that I want to make this morning about this passage of Scripture is it is clear that God is dealing with a nation collectively in this passage of Scripture. And this old passage of Scripture, the potter's hand was upon a nation. And he set it up and he was working on it. But it's clear to see, just like Israel, we can make a good analogy to America. And maybe they had many more years than us, but either way, we can see that this nation is marred in the hand of the potter. But I serve a God that is not limited by just making it up the one time. He's a God that had his hand steady upon the clay. And even when it got rough, and even when it fell apart, and when it got marred in his hands, he can make it again. A brand new thing, another vessel. You said, how could America ever be? I don't know that America could ever be what it used to be. But it could be better than it's ever been, because we serve a holy God. And if God's people that are called by his name would repent, humble themselves and turn and seek God's face, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, we could see God intervene in our lives. We could see God change us and not make us what we used to be, but another vessel that could be for his honor and glory. Amen, amen and amen. I'm not a preacher that believes that the days of revival are dead. I'm not a preacher that believes that God's work is done. I'm not a preacher that'll stand up and tell you that all the good things of God are past. Hogwash and applesauce, the best days of this country and the church of the Jesus Christ living in heaven, seated at the right hand, waiting to come back for his church, are tomorrow. I didn't live way back then. I didn't see their revival, but I can have revival today. I can have personal revival. Our church can have revival. Our nation can have revival if we just decide to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. Amen, amen and amen. Why? Not because of me. Not because of you. Not because America's good, not because we're better than any other nation, but because the potter is good. Because the potter's hands are perfect, and he can keep his hand upon the clay. He can make it again. You say, well, I don't know. Would a marred vessel be perfect? Listen, I would rather have a vessel that's been marred in the master's hand and then remade to be exactly what he wanted to remake it into, than one that gets off the wheel and gets out of God's will and gets into God's judgment. Folks, we cannot continue the way that we are continuing as a nation. And we cannot blame the liberals. And we cannot blame the ungodly crowd. We cannot blame the legislators. We're outnumbered. And listen, the reason that we're outnumbered today in the country that we so love is because we have not humbled ourselves.
That's right.
We have not prayed, and we have not seeking God's face for God to turn from his wrath. We have not done the work. Folks, the potter is ready to go to work. He has wrought a work upon the wheel, and the vessel is marred in the hand of the potter. It's time for the vessel, or all the pieces of the vessel, my people, not the worldly people, not the lost people, not the liberal people. There's no legislation. There's no Nancy Pelosi that can stand up against the prayers of God's people when God decides to act. He can reach down into that dead, cold heart and turn it whatever way he wants to turn it. She can look herself in the mirror and say, why did I say that? Why did I propose that? Why did I do that? And more so, he can reach down and save Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if there's anybody out there that thought that woman couldn't be saved. No, I've got a God that can save even Nancy Pelosi. Amen and amen. It's a mighty potter that I serve. But how about turning all this from a nation, the perspective of a nation, and God's providential hand, as his providing hand that he has, and how that God is so mighty that he could change our destiny as a nation if we would turn back to him. How about on a personal level? How about personally, where you live? Look at the scripture with me. He says, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. He sends him down to the potter's house. Verse 2, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Jeremiah speaking, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. I just want to say this to you today. Do you know
that I see that when God's beginning to work and he deals with the nation, but personally, I just want you to know this. The clay, this work, before it could ever be worked on, had to be dug up outside and be brought into the potter's house. Hey, folks, if you're here today and you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, I hope that you're still on the potter's wheel. And the potter's got his hands and he's molding and shaping you, but I can remember the day that I was out in a horrible pit and in the miry clay, and God went outside the potter's house, and I didn't come in. I couldn't come in. I couldn't get myself loose of all the other clay. I couldn't get myself loose of all the sin and the sickness and all the things that were out into the world, but God left heaven for me, and he reached way down, and the hands of the potter didn't just work on me on the wheel, but he reached down and he cut me out of all the things in the collective sin from Adam all the way down, and he plucked me out of the miry clay. I looked to the potter and I said, hey, I want to be saved. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to stay in this horrible pit. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. And he plucked down and he pulled me up. Hey, he was the only one with the power to do it. Amen. I couldn't pull myself out of that pit. I couldn't get myself out of that miry clay. I couldn't change my circumstances. Turn with me to Psalms 40. Stick something in your Bible there so we can come back. And I want you to see in Psalms chapter 40, I marked it this week, so I beat you there already. Psalms chapter 40. Verse chapter 2 of chapter 40, he says, and he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. I don't know if you all know exactly what's inside of a potter's house, but when it says that he plucked me out, I couldn't help but take this and put it into this. Back in the day, listen, that nowadays, if you were to go into a potter's house, they have a pedal, and it's hooked up to electricity. But back in Jeremiah's day, there was no electricity. And the Bible says that he wrought a work upon the wheels. And if you're old school enough to me, I remember going to grandma's house, and grandmom had an electric sewing machine. But over in the corner, she had a sewing machine that was antique. I mean, it was old as dirt. And underneath of it, it had this thing that went back and forth like this. And it was a treadle. She said, don't mess with the treadle. I didn't know what that was, so I messed with it. Hey, man, that was one of the first whoopings my grandmother ever gave me. That was important to her. That was her mama's sewing machine. She said, there's been many a pair of britches fixed on that sewing machine right there. She'd talk about it. You know, think about the wheel. He'd take that piece of clay and he'd put it up on the wheel. A lot of times they'd put some water in it. They'd wet it down. A lot of times they'd begin to work it, but when they turned the wheel and they started to make the vessel, they'd really start to work. Both the potter's hands would be on that thing. And so they couldn't turn it by hand. They had to have another wheel that was connected, and they pumped a treadle. And that treadle turned a second wheel that in turn was tied to the top wheel, and that big piece of stone on the top turned. It was a piece of stone because they needed to be able to, couldn't stick there. It had to be something that was hard place. Had to be a place that could work and it could slide. It was a smooth piece of stone. Hey, can you look at the scripture with me? He said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of miry clay, and he set me upon a rock and established my goings. Boy, when I got set upon that rock was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only the one that cut me out of the miry clay and placed me, but then I got placed in him. Amen. That's good preaching. I got placed in him. And I want to lose my identity in the wheel. I want to lose my identity into the rock that I've been set upon. I don't want to be something that I made myself. I want the potter and his hands and the wheel to turn and to shape me into something that seems good unto the potter. Not my will be done, but thine be done. That's what Jesus said. Hey, the wheel, the rock that I'm placed upon, the whole time as the potter's hand, the Father has his hands on me, that good water of the Holy Spirit wetting me and continuing to work on me and to make me soft and to keep me right, and then resting upon the rock that keeps saying, hey, be more like me, follow me, hey, I'll make you a fishers of men, I'll change you in this way. Can you imagine being on the rock and being on the wheel? I can imagine as a nation God calling out to us, but how much more personally? I can see, I hope today that you've been pulled out of the miry clay and you've been set in a good in the potter's house. But more so, you got placed upon the wheel. I know for me, being on the wheel has been something, it's not always fun. It's not always. Can you imagine? Listen, as I age, the older I get, the harder it is for me to ride those carnival rides in places, you know. I mean, as a young man, I mean, I remember going, and I used to drive the bus for our teens when I was a young man, and my kids were small, and I would drive, and the youth pastor, who was maybe about 3 or 4 years older than me, he would come back and tell my wife, he goes, that man is insane. He can ride anything, and he can ride. I mean, you know, we'd get off the rides, and the teenagers would be puking everywhere, just, I mean, throwing up, and I'd be like, what are you doing? That was fun. Let's ride another one. And they're going, no, you know. And the youth pastor's just like watching. Can you take them on this ride? And I'm like, yeah, let's go. But the older I get now, you know, I can ride any roller coaster there is, but you put me on that Tilt-A-Whirl thing that does this. And the whole time I'm on there, I'm going, please let me off of this thing. Amen. I'm closing my eyes and I'm in prayer. Lord, help my lunch to stay exactly where we put it earlier. Amen. But can you imagine? Listen, the blessing to know that the potter doesn't just have his hands on me, but his feet are upon the treadles. And sometimes it seems like this world is spinning out of control. And that, you know, he's flicking the, sometimes that it seems like I'm too wet, that the Holy Spirit has got me too soft and I'm too leaning to things or I'm dry. But the potter knows the clay. The potter knows where I need impression because he knows what he's trying to make me, folks. Sometimes we don't like it when he presses in certain areas and we seem like, oh, this is not what I need. Or the wheel seems to spin out of control and too fast. But the potter is controlling the speed. The potter controls the wheel and his hands are on. Can you even imagine? Can I just say this? He goes on to say this about the... I just want you to say, he says, and he put, look in verse 3, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. How am I supposed to be while I'm on the wheel? I'm supposed to sing a new song. I'm supposed to have a brand new attitude while I'm going round and round. I mean, listen, I ought to be the record that keeps spinning and keeps spinning and keeps spinning. Every time I'm around somebody, that guy is a broken record. All he can do is praise the Lord. All he can do is tell somebody about that Jesus that he serves. All he can do, listen, nobody wants to hear us complain. Nobody wants to hear us tell them all that they already know that CNN and Fox and everybody else already told them. They've already seen it. The brand new news they need to hear from you is that God is still on the throne, that the potter's hands are still good, that he still saves if they turn to him, that, hey, that Jesus is still able to have revival in America. You know, they don't publicize that on Fox News. Hey, even Rush Limbaugh never went out on a limb and said America can still have revival. Nobody in this world is going to hear that except for a Christian that's had a brand new song put upon their heart. And long as I go round and round, what should my song be? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. I'm just here to tell you today, I'm on the wheel. I want to stay on the wheel. But listen, you know what happens when we stop singing the song that's been put in our heart? Look at it. It says, many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. When I'm done singing, people stop getting saved. When I stop screaming out and prophesying that Jesus saves, and I let discouragement and I let the wheel get to me, when I let the pressure from the hands and the wetness of and it seems like it's too damp and it's too much, when I let all that get to me, my witness ain't what it ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 4, blessing is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. I want to be blessed. When does blessing seem to dry up? When I'm not trusting the Lord like I ought to. When I'm not putting it in his hands. When I'm not stepping out by faith and keeping on, saying God will take care of it and moving on for him. Hey, I mean, it's never wrong to trust God. It's never wrong to step out in faith. And he says, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside unto lies. You ever heard a Christian that's on the wheel? This is pre-marred. Right about the time that you're going to come apart on the wheel and the thing's going to start flopping and get away is when pride wells up in the piece of clay. Look at that verse. He says, blessed is a man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to him. Do you know that I found that pride is contagious? If you let people rise up in pride and start preaching that around to you or start talking around to you, all of a sudden you start thinking you're better than everybody else. They start saying a lie enough, finally you believe it. And all of a sudden you start drinking it in. Boy, you got to be careful who you're on the wheel next to. You got to be careful who's telling you. You need to listen to the rock of your salvation. Need to listen close. Most of the time, rather than read this, we read something else that we think will help us. I love the devotional that we put out, but it doesn't take place of the Word of God. Amen. It should complement it. It shouldn't take its place. Look at verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to us words. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. I would declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. Can I just say this? It is overwhelming to me that when I study the Word of God, that even when I get out of order, even when I get marred in the hand of the potter, that sometimes we think that God's thoughts are out to get us. Sometimes we think God is looking down at our sin. No, 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 Christian, wake up and remember who you are. You're saved and forgiven of every sin that you've ever committed, that it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. There is not a Father in heaven that's waiting to put his finger on you and judge you in judgment. We live in a sin-cursed world and in sin-cursed bodies, and bad things happen. But I remember here in the scripture, many, O Lord, of my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are us towards. If I could turn to the book of Job and tell you how Job thought of God and how God's thoughts were ever towards man and how God's heart, can you imagine that God, who created everything, he even took time out of eternity to send his son to die on Calvary. How important are his thoughts to us? How loving are those thoughts? He said, I can't let them be out in sin. I can't let them spend eternity in hell. I can't let them be in a horrible pit in a miry clay. I don't just want to make a way to heaven, but I want to give them a church. I want to ordain a family that they can have happiness on this side of heaven. I want everything. I want the best blessings on this side of heaven if they will simply turn to me and trust me. God's thoughts to you are not of thoughts of destruction, but of healing. And if you're marred in the hand of the vessel, his thoughts are remaking thoughts, remolding thoughts, trying to take the bad decisions or the moments of distrust in God and you put trust in yourself. He wants you to turn back to him. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18 and we'll finish the message very quickly. This morning, Jeremiah, can you imagine? He walks into this potter's house and he sees a work upon the wheel. The potter is working at the pedaling, and he's keeping speed, and he's reaching over with one hand and flicking water on this thing, and he's keeping working, and all of a sudden he watches it come apart. But even in the scripture, look at it with me. He said, and the vessel that made, in verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and he goes into all that happened with the nation of Israel. And if repentance of a nation would turn people back and God would remake a nation and replant it, then why wouldn't he do it for the individual? If God would come and he would take and remake a nation, it'd be a lot easier to remake an individual. You come here today, listen, I just want to tell you, I don't have time to give you my testimony. But I've not done everything right in the Christian life. I started out strong as a young Christian and just naive some things. And they sent an old country boy way up into a non-country place. And I was in the city. And I fell in with the wrong crowd while I was off at college at 18 years old. And the crowd built up some pride in my heart. And rather than being a servant, I was built up with pride. I believed the lies of those around me, rather than running in the direction God had for me and trusting him. But you know what? I got my heart right, and I stayed close. I stayed in the church. Never ran out into sin and all those things, but I felt like I was marred in the hand of the potter. But I went back to the potter and said, I'm sorry. I repent. Could you still use an old marred up vessel? Could you still use somebody that didn't do it all right the first time? Could you still use somebody that would just, I'll give you everything that I got left if you would just take it and mold it for your honor and glory? Hey, folks, we have a potter who's the potter of second chances. And I don't know, and I don't want to spend my life thinking about what could I have been if I hadn't have been marred in the hand of the potter. Because I know this, the will of God for me is exactly what he molded me to be today. I can't tell you what he was making in the first shot, but I can tell you what he remolded me into today. And I can tell you, he's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. When I step, I can only imagine this. Folks, we are here today. You know Jesus as your Savior. You're on your way to heaven. I don't know what God has done in your life or what you've done, when you got off the wheel or whether you stayed on. Whether you've been marred or you've never been marred, either way, the potter is good. He's good to trust. He's good to follow. He's good to continue molding. Listen, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. If you're not saved and you're in the building, the potter's hands are not like they were in Jeremiah's day. The potter's hands today, if you were to look, I know that when I reach heaven, those hands are going to have nail prints in them. Those are nail-scarred hands, not because of the potter or something that he did wrong, but because of the clay. I'm looking forward to a day. You say, well, what are you looking for? When you get to heaven, when I step out on, I can't wait to see grandma and grandpa. I can't wait to see brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone on before me, that sat in this place and served with me. I cannot wait to see them. But I want to see Jesus first of all. And I've never seen him with my own eyes. But I'll be looking for nail-printed hands. And I won't be able to miss him. Hey, the potter's hands are not like anybody else's hands. The potter's hands took your hell and took it upon himself. He died the greatest thing of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, you say, well, how am I saved? You call out. I told you at the beginning, I was out in a horrible pit in the miry clay. And if you find yourself there this morning, then you really need to turn to the potter and say, I need to be saved. I want the salvation that you purchased for me on Calvary. Would you let me have it? Would you come into my heart? Be my Savior. Take him personally as your own Savior. If you're here and you're already saved, but you know that you've been marred in the hand of the potter, why don't you come to him today and say, remake me as a brand new vessel. Whatever seems good to you, make me that way. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around but me and God. If you're here and you'd say, preacher, I'm that way. I need to receive the potter. I need to be saved. I need to be pulled up out of that miry clay. I need Jesus. I need him as my personal Savior. I've never taken him as that. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Anybody in the building, you'd slip it. I see that hand. Thank you for that. I see some other hands. Would you do this for me? I'm going to pray for you right where you are. But the way you can receive Jesus is to step out and come to the front when we stand together and receive Christ. I see those hands. I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you'd say, preacher, I've been marred in the hand of the potter. And I need healing. I need to repent. I need to turn back to him and let him make me again. Nobody's looking but me and God. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I see that hand. I see another hand. I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God, would we stand to our feet? Let me pray. And when we finish praying, Brother Bert's going to sing. And if you need Jesus today, then you step out and you come meet him this morning. Dear God, we ask you for these that slipped their hand up and said they needed to be saved. God, I pray that they would step out and come and be saved today. I pray for those that need healing, they were marred in the hand of the potter. They need to be remade. God, I pray that they would come and do business with you, that they'd get it cleared out between you and them, repent and come to you and ask you to begin the remaking process. God, I pray for our nation today, God. Help us as God's people to humble ourselves and pray and to seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Help us to be a brand new nation, remade the way you'd have it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come now as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? Folks have come. Many of them are come to receive Christ this morning, but maybe you're one of those. I saw several hands that needed to be repaired, to need to be remade by the potter's hand. I know that you can pray where you sit and you can talk to God. Well, why don't you come down and let somebody pray with you? Heard a great message this week about folks that the devil got on the hook and they got marred. And they're still on the hook and they keep running and they go over and over again. And maybe you've heard preaching over and over again. And there's something in your life that you need, you just haven't been able to get over. Come and pray with somebody. Let them pray with you and help you in this thing. Listen, this morning, God is moving in our midst. Would you pray that God would help those that need to step out and come for the birth?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
This morning, God has blessed us, and as we continue, I mean, let me just tell you this morning, maybe you are here and you haven't moved to membership. I didn't make a plea for that, but maybe you've come for a long time and you've never been baptized, and that's the fear that you have. You know that you say, well, I can't get in the tank. It ain't easy for me. Brother Richard and I have taken a lot of people in the tank. And we'll promise you this, if you're willing to come, we'll get you in the tank and we'll get you baptized. We want you desperately to be a member of the Landmark Baptist Church if this is where you want to be. God's call to you this morning is, listen, this nation, sometimes the easy things, the simple things, the first step of obedience is a big thing to us. But how could we ever step out and pray if we won't humble ourselves for baptism and join in the church? How could our nation ever come back? How could we have personal revival if we won't even get to be a part of what Jesus died for and purchased with his own blood? Amen. Listen, I make a plea to you. Make a plan. Step out. Talk to the preacher and say, I need to be baptized. I want to join this church, this good church. Amen. Brother Bert, let's give him one more opportunity to come and join the church.
Just as I am.